listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I was like, good gracious, ass is bodacious, flirtatious, trying to show faces, looking for the right time to shoot my steam, you know, looking for the right time to flash them keys. Them, I'm leaving, please believe in me and the rest of my heathens. Check it, got it locked at the top of the Four Seasons. Penthouse, rooftop, birds I feed in. No deceiving, nothing on my sleeve, no teasing. I need you to get on up on the dance floor. Give that man what he asking for. Cause I feel like busting loose and I feel like touching you. Woo! And can't nobody stop the juice. So baby, tell me what's the use? It's getting hot in her. Hey. Welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and I am getting so hot I want to take my clothes off, but I'm gonna leave them on. We on camera. We are live on a Monday night. Appreciate you guys tuning in. A lot of people in the chat room live, and we see y'all, and we thank y'all.
We do.
Of course, the Black Guy Who Tips can be found on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews. If they're nice, we'll read them. It's that simple. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today's show is sponsored. It's actually double sponsored. Okay, guys. First of all, it's brought to you. Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry. It's only sponsored by one person. It's brought to you by, and I tried to tell y'all, I tried to warn y'all, but some of y'all didn't listen. But the deal for the vibrating O-ring thing, it's a wrap. It's over. Y'all had 2 weeks to get information on that, and y'all didn't believe me. But Adam and Eve is still trying to help make your day. That's right. You can make this Valentine's Day one you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Through Valentine's Day, you'll receive 50% off of just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive a romance kit for absolutely free. The romance kit includes a toy for him, a special massager for her, probably massage the clitoris, guys, and a little something that we know you'll both enjoy, plus a free adult DVD to put you in the mood. And that's not all. Oh no, if you act now, they'll put in free shipping on your whole order. Check out AdamandEve.com for the special Valentine's Day offer. Get 50% off one item, a free romance kit, free shipping when you enter offer code TBGWT. That's TBGWT at AdamandEve.com. So make sure y'all do that, because like I said, it's gonna be gone and then y'all gonna be like, what the fuck happened to the deal? Yep. And I say, even if you're single, get it and then just hope you get a date, you know, and y'all will be using it. All right, let's get into some news.
Okay.
All right, first of all, I did have some random thoughts that I haven't talked about in a long time.
Okay,
so we might as well get these out the way.
Let's do it.
All right, I'll try to do these fast as possible. Okay, guys.
And you don't got the rest is our show.
All right. Well, number one, criminals at work. We saw it last night. Listen, I know we just talked about it yesterday.
It was so good.
Criminals at Work might be the best show on TV.
Oh, it was okay? So good.
It's better than Westworld. I have been watching Westworld. I'm 3 episodes in. It's a great show. Criminals at Work is better than that. It's real stories of what seems to be only black people so far. Comes on BET and Centric.
That's probably why it's black people.
I just noticed a trend. I watched 75 episodes and it's all black people. Anyway, and they talk about these criminals at their jobs and the crime shit they did. Yesterday, I shit you not, the criminal was Charles Dorner. Y'all remember?
Yes.
The black dude that went, he was like a police officer.
And he just went
fucking nuts. Like, he shot 4 people, then there was a manhunt, then he was shooting police in a manhunt.
That shit that I didn't know, you know, because we're on the other coast, so a lot of the details we didn't get, we didn't really hear about until like the manhunt. Like that's when I was like, oh shit, officer done went nuts. But they actually went into a lot of detail about the background of the story.
Yeah, he felt like racially discriminated at his job. They didn't read his manifesto though, because his manifesto was some other shit.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah, so they did his, And then the other part, because always two, like, I mean, you can't beat the bang for your buck. It's an hour and 7 minutes, but I mean, it's his own Centric and BET. 37 of those minutes are commercials, so it's really like two 15 minute stories. And then the second one was a dude that started doing a Ponzi scheme on these old black women at church. This nigga made $16 million.
$16 million. He was going across the country, y'all, stealing like they life savings, like all that they had.
He opened up one in like Raleigh. Then the people was calling to get their money back. Nigga was closed the business. He stopped answering calls. He was like, if you want your money back, he'd be like, well, what if I could get you an investment return guaranteed 20% on your investment?
I was like, y'all must not know nothing about investment because they can't guarantee none of that shit.
Oh my God. It was so good, man. Them old black women was mad as fuck.
Blame them. I'd have been hot too.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, these sisters be out here earning, man, because like, you got to think. Sisters are highly educated most of the time, that, you know, starting these, they're entrepreneurial,
right.
All this shit, right? So you had these sisters that was making all this money. Like, one of them even, like, she retired. She was like, I retired from corporate America, and she wasn't old. Like, she just was like, I'm retired, like, I got money, I've saved enough. She put her whole savings into this nigga's stupid ass Ponzi scheme, y'all. I'm talking about, she put like, what was it, like $250,000 or some crazy shit?
That woman was $125,000.
Yeah.
And the other lady, she invested like $250,000.
Try and trust this brother.
That's a lot of money.
Man, they said, man, this dude went on Montel. Like, he was going on TV being like, yeah, you can get money too. They say he had a Twitter account that automatically tweeted out every 15 minutes, like, who wants to help get this money? Wow, get out of your job and save this money. This nigga was straight up scamming people. He was Joanne the scammer before that even existed,
right? And then when everything went south, the nigga went missing. He actually changed his name.
Yeah, he just changed his name, was living somewhere else,
right?
And they caught him by talking shit about him, and he went in to like set the record straight, and then this nigga got arrested like a dummy,
right? And they was trying to find him, and all the women and other people got together and did a, like, almost like a class action lawsuit against him, but they couldn't find him. And so the dude that was representing them found him because he got a lawyer, so right. They was basically talking through lawyers.
Oh man, good. It's a great show, you guys should all be watching.
Real good.
Anyway, also other three things I was thinking about, it really should be called Panera sandwiches, because nobody goes for the bread. Unless you're a real basic person, okay? Like, I'm not saying you can't enjoy the bread, because see, a lot of y'all don't have the comprehension skills to break that sentence down. I'm not saying the bread isn't good. I'm not saying that the complimentary bread or the side of bread that you get with your soup and shit, but you didn't come for the bread. No. They don't just sell bread. It's not just, hey, can I get two breads, please? You don't stand in line for a loaf of fucking bread. No. You know what I mean, America. Stop trying to fight it and tell the truth, okay? It should be changed to Panera soup and sandwiches.
Yeah, not unless you get a bread bowl, but even that, you
just, what's in the bread? What's in the bowl?
Right, you for the soup.
Right, if they just gave you a motherfucking bowl with no soup in it, you'd be mad as fuck. And I'm tired of y'all contrarian ass niggas trying to figure a way around it. It's the truth. They need to change the name. It's false advertising. It'd be like calling Popeyes biscuits. Oh, you gonna go to biscuits? Not if I don't get no fucking chicken too and some sides. I might want some fucking dirty rice or some beans in this shit too. Like, it's not just gonna be biscuits all day, nigga. Come on, man. You know, Krispy Kreme is called donuts. You know, it's not Krispy Kreme coffee and then you just happen to get some donuts while you're there. Come on, this false advertising. Panera Bread is false. We should be able to sue Panera Bread as a class action lawsuit and make them change their name and hide in another part of the country, because they've been running a Ponzi scheme on our pockets for years, guys.
I've never thought of it like that. I like Panera Bread. I know you don't care too much for it, but I like Panera Bread. I like to go in there with all, I mean, it's a few little dark spots in there, but overall, I can't speak for all Panera Breads. Panera Bread is predominantly white, so I just go in there and eat my Panera Bread and just be happy and carefree like all the white people around me.
And who the hell is Panera? Is that somebody's first name? Is that a location? What's Panera? Is it a type of bread?
Does anybody know? Shit, it might be.
I feel like white people probably be naming their kids Panera for years. We just don't know.
No, nobody told us yet.
Apple. Well, you do get an apple Panera bread, so that makes sense.
I wish, yeah, you get an apple, bag of chips.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a kid. That's what we've been missing. The kids' names is Apple, Panera Bread, onion flavor chips, lemonade. I don't know what these kids names.
You know,
are.
No black folks. The baby named salt and vinegar, pork mm-hmm. rinds.
Also, just something I was thinking about randomly. Do y'all remember the group Intro? Karen, you remember the group Intro?
Intro who?
It was an R&B group from the '90s.
Probably know the song, but I don't remember that name.
Yeah, this is one of the hits. It's the remake of Ribbon in the Sky. It was good too. They could sing. And you know, normally when you cover a Stevie song, you know, you don't say that, but
no.
They did a really good job.
You know how everybody is about them classics.
Mm-hmm. Key is not trying to like do a Stevie imitation,
right? And sing outside of your key,
right? So you had that song. They also had Let Me Be the One, which maybe you'll remember. That was a big hit for them.
Now this one I remember more than the first one.
It was back when all you really needed was.
Hey.
It's back when all you needed was three light skinned niggas and a mic, and you could make a group.
Yeah, they don't do that no more. Groups have faded away, like Mr. Span said.
1993. Mm-hmm. This is back when music was music, right? Before they started doing all that slutting around out here in these streets.
I do not shame folks for that music, honey, because I love some of the ratchet ass music today. Let me be
the one.
Now, this one I remember. I want to name the old folks jam.
Yeah, I was 15 when this came out.
Mm-hmm. And now you know what it's called, Otis.
And then, of course, they had this joint. It's called Come Inside. A little sexier. So without this intro talking. See why these niggas call intro. It's a fucking minute long just to get to the song.
Oh, that's what they did back in the day. Shit, back in the day, they had 2 or 3 minute intros with no singing, just beats.
This is all still part of the song.
Hey, what's up?
Of course, the radio edit didn't have all this in it.
I know.
Oh, hi, baby. When'd you get back?
Yeah, it should be real good with the phone calls. Might need to refresh, baby.
Oh, am I roboting? Mm-hmm. Okay, give me a second. I want y'all to hear this. I'm going to refresh. My bad. Oh, man. But yeah, I was thinking about that because I think this might have been, if not the first, it was definitely one of the first R&B albums I bought. And it was right around that time, you know, when you're like 15, when you first start thinking about girls and shit. So you realize like, oh, I'm gonna need some music to get into.
Yeah, you talking about my genre, because
these hoes ain't feeling my crisscross.
Nah, ain't feeling no. Crisscross. Nah,
like I can't nail the bad creation into no draws. So
no, you can't.
I'm gonna have to mature my music. So it was on this.
Yeah, this is my genre. I honestly didn't get into rap until I was older. Basically, I didn't get into rap until I started dating you, because now R&B, this is my genre, and I never realized it until I got older. Not to get on a tangent, some people that sing R&B are fucking problematic. Shout out to Mr. Span. He plays some stuff on his show, and I was like, okay, yeah, because I used to love me some Aaron Hall. I ain't know this nigga was in his socks beating women.
Okay, that is a tangent, and I didn't know that either till just now.
I like a lot of his sexy songs. But Nirvana
was singing about "Don't Be Afraid."
Right?
She had a lot of reason to be afraid. This nigga was hitting her.
Come on.
Anyway, back to the song.
You know the flavor. Buzz me up, babe.
If you let me come on inside of you, I'll keep satisfied tonight. If you want me, oh, if you need me, let me turn down all the lights.
I'll take you out. Yes. Tonight. Come on. Yeah, them slow dance. Midnight when my ass started being in the bed, because I had to be at school at fucking 6 o'clock in the morning.
The last time we made love, and I fantasized so many things that I dreamed of.
This is back when they made music. It's not like back in, like now, where it's all, I'm gonna fuck your girl, fuck you back to sleep, right? It's that, this is what we needed.
That was then the same thing. The verbiage was different, but it's the same thing.
It was poetic. Let me come inside, you know?
You still graphic.
I know what he meant. But I mean, I didn't because I was 15, but I had a feeling.
You had a feeling.
I remember I was listening to this
album.
I thought
I knew about it too, but I didn't.
We went to a trip in Atlanta without my Aunt Robin's house, and I remember I had this tape, I think, maybe DVD, or CD at the time, and I remember playing it in the car. It was my first time really listening to it. I was like, man, this is a nice album. And my mom and everybody was there, and this song came on. I knew all the words, and then it got to the end, and this ain't on the radio.
This is what you hear when you stay up to 2 a.m. from the Quiet Storm.
This ain't on the Quiet Storm either. The radio version ain't got this.
Oh,
that sounds good.
Yeah, you just knew all the words. What happened, Karen? You don't know these words?
No.
You don't know these lyrics? You can keep up in the booklet?
No.
Yeah.
No, they ain't have this in the fold out. Shout out to people who know what a fold out is.
Let's try this.
Now just imagine your mama was sitting with you listening to this, and you 15, and you ain't even know this shit was on the album. And y'all was all just jamming the Ribbon in the Sky together, cause your mama knows Stevie Wonder, and you know,
and then it gets intro.
Like that?
Right.
Was that when somebody was like, cut this shit off?
Nope.
They were like, we're gonna listen to it.
It was like, what the hell is this? And I was like, I'ma let it play, cause I kept thinking it was gonna end.
Watch your teeth, man.
Cause back then.
Oh, he said watch your teeth!
Watch your teeth! Yeah, back then, you couldn't tell how long on a tape a fucking song was.
Dude.
So you just had to hope it get to the next song.
Yeah. Oh! Okay! Alright! So we got some Skinny Max happening here.
Not even Skinny Max, is just graphic.
Don't stop.
I mean, skin a mask because we can't see shit.
You sure do.
Everything is implied.
You real on me. Let's take it there.
I can't take it there until you take it here.
No, you right. I've never heard this.
It's long as fuck when you sitting in the car with your mama.
How long is this shit?
It gets worse.
Lord!
like those lips.
Did I tell you I like those lips down there too?
Yeah. So yeah, that's who I put on for, man. And all the people that ever bought Intro's album because of Ribbon in the Sky and had to stop listening because you were traumatized because of the ending to Come Inside. That's about my life right there. Yeah. I don't think I've ever listened to that fucking tape again for the rest of my life. It's like they didn't exist.
That's the hidden version of me.
I threw that shit in the trash. There's no way you want to be thinking about any of those thoughts with your mama and your aunt just sitting there looking at you like, what kind of heathen child has come into this house? It was terrible, terrifying, horrific experience.
I know sometimes they would put it like a phone call or something like that, you know, because some of them have them when they do like the extended quiet stuff, but no, I don't remember none of this.
Mm-mm. That should
change.
That's
how I thought it was, but I was like, no, I don't remember none of this. No, they ain't playing on the radio.
Should change that in the outro after that, because that outro was too much. And it's like they just went back to singing normal songs after that.
Oh Lord!
It's like, now let's sing One of a Kind Love, everybody.
You like, no.
I could be your pilot.
Oh, so we singing like last night didn't happen?
Yeah, nigga, you can't go back to normal.
No, you can't!
That song should have been at the very end so I could turn it off.
Right.
Oh God. And I had no idea they were gonna do 3 minutes of just dick sucking. Like, come on, guys. I know they got many angry letters about it. It don't even fit the album. It's just,
like you say, it literally should have been the last album. And y'all, this is like pre-CD, so you probably got it on the tape.
That's why I say I had it on tape. I remember I had this. I think He's a DJ. I'm the Rapper, maybe, or it was the Summertime album, whichever one that was. Home Base. It was. Yeah, I think I had Home Base. I had a Queen Latifah album. The one where she started singing, I think.
Called him the Beast. Was that on it?
I think Unity was on it. But then she had this song because, you know, Queen Latifah can sing too, And I think like she had a, brother who died. I want to say it's called like Winky's Song or something like that. But like that was at the end of the album. I just remember that song because I was like, damn, she could sing too. Like, the fuck? What else can this woman do? You know what I'm saying? So it was, it was just kind of one of those things where, Black Rain. I think that was the name of the album. Winky's Thing. Damn, how did I remember that? Winky's Thing was the last song and it was, she was singing and shit. I remember riding up there listening, and you can listen to the whole, you know, Queen Latifah album, and it wasn't a problem, you know.
Yeah,
it was like I could listen to that with my mom, and I listened to Home Base and with my mom, my brother in the car. That motherfucking intro though.
My brother
Wiki,
who's looking down on me from heaven, watching my every move as usual.
She was a beast, man. She could just do so much shit. And then also it was like she found that niche between like hard and feminine that I think a lot of female quote unquote rappers never got to like,
you know, they have a hard time balancing that or finding their lane.
And I think also they're almost like not allowed. It's like, can you do an imitation of a man? Because if you can do an imitation of a man, you can get on this track. But if you got to come out here and say some feminine shit, you gotta go. And I think that's why like Lauryn Hill resonates with black women on a level that Queen Latifah.
And the thing is, when it comes to female rappers, there are a lot of female rappers that I like, and there are female rappers who quote unquote, however you want to say it, rap like a man, but some of them might just have deep voices, some of them that just might be the way they rap. But I think a lot of women are forced to conform. Well,
I'm not even talking about their voices, I just think the aggression has to, it's like a certain lane where it's like, because people don't seem to respect it unless it's like either overly sexed or overly violent, you know, right. Like you can't really have like a kid, you can't have like a Kendrick Lamar type woman that's a rapper, because it's like, well then is she pulling her titties out, because when am I gonna see them titties? And if she's not, then it's like, well then is she talking about pulling guns on niggas, because then she need to be talking about pulling guns. It's like, people don't want to hear that in the middle, or this is just my story type shit. They want to hear like, I'm the baddest bitch and I do this, that, and the other, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it feels like it's a box. And I think when we were coming up, it was a little less of a box for a lot of women, at least that were able to ascend to notoriety. I think there's still many, many women rappers that, you know, got flow and all that shit, but somehow
they're great at what they do, but they and they're great at what they do, but it's just something about them breaking into mainstream where they're more getting more notoriety.
Yeah, I just think it's just become harder for some reason. I don't know why. It's when we were growing up, there were multiple, and it's not a skill thing, and I hate when people try to say it's that not. Shit, but if you listen to you know, whether it's Rhapsody, whether it's Jean Grey, I'm drawing a blank on my girl, I'm gonna have to go look up her album, but like it's options out there, but it's just not, it's like I said, in order to kind of break that mold, like to get out of the like also ran category, whenever they talk about the BET Hip Hop Awards and they go Nicki Minaj and then 17 women you ain't heard of, it's like, in order to get out of that, then people want you to kind of do an imitation of like, can you be Lil Kim, can you be, you know, as opposed to like I said, we came up, I mean, you had a Lil Kim and a Lauryn Hill at the same time.
Yes, you did.
You know, you could have a Yo-Yo and an MC Light and a Queen Latifah
and a Foxy Brown.
Yeah, you can have different eras of just, you know,
and a Salt and Pepper.
Like you can just have different eras of different lanes of raptresses or whatever, being in the same like genre but not stepping on each other's toes, quote unquote. And it wasn't necessarily like it is now, which is, if Nicki Minaj is doing good and Azalea Banks is doing good, then we have to ask them about each other and see if they gonna beef with each other.
Like, it can only be one. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, like I don't know if we could ever have a I Wanna Be Down remix right now, you know, where you could just have like six badass women rappers hop on the same track and it's not a rivalry or beef. It's just we all are independently of each other famous and good and respected, as opposed to now. I don't think we would probably make it 2 to 3 women deep before it was like, okay, you know. And then also, like I said, the vibe is a lot more like so-and-so versus so-and-so, you know. Not that there ain't women putting it down, but like I said, it's just the amount of ways to kind of be a woman in rap has just changed over my lifetime.
It has,
you know. What kind of culinary arts degree do you need to have in order to microwave a burrito that's left over? Like,
that's hard to do, because you do it too hard, you got a problem, and you don't do it long enough, you got a whole another set of problems.
I just want to know what the rules are. Is there
50% power? Shit, I don't
know. I've tried that, Karen. Okay. I know the microwave better than you know the microwave.
I
can't figure it out. It's been years I've been doing scientific experiments on leftover burritos, and it never works out. You either get a sloppy, runny mess that like one side of the burrito is hard as fuck and the other side is like tissue paper, or you end up with a fucking icicle in the middle of your burrito and the rest on the outside is too hot to touch, so it's scalding, but then on the inside it's like a block of fucking ice. I don't know the rules to microwaving a leftover burrito. These aren't
how you
frozen burritos that you get from the store that come with instructions and shit. It's just like, you know, you go to Qdoba and you just want to make a fucking burrito. The only thing I can think of is you gotta make a burrito bowl basically by microwaving the burrito until the ingredients decide to melt into a cheese lava construction, and then you gotta just put that shit in a bowl and eat it that way.
Somebody said a woman in the oven, woman in the stove.
How? On which side? On what temperature?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. What if I got lettuce in there? Just throw it in the trash, right? It makes no sense.
I think you gotta take all the ingredients out by one by one, put them in a pan, and then you gotta cook it in the pan till they hot, and then you take it and you put them back into a new flour tortilla that you bought on the way home, because there's no fucking way to make that shit work with a microwave. It's impossible.
I guess other people in the chat room got the same problem. A lot of them say they just eat it cold. A lot of
everybody knows,
right? They say eat it cold and let it go.
Yeah, I was feeling so much pressure when I get full on eating a burrito. I'll be like, I got to finish it. It's no way. It's a burrito sitting in my house, in the fridge right now. It's a brick, y'all. It's a brick. It's, I don't know what to do with it. It's a weapon at this point. Anyway, if any chefs out there, if you went to, you trained under Gordon Ramsay or something, you can help eat writers. We went to see the new Jamie Foxx movie, the prequel to, I really couldn't understand how it's going to tie into Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan meeting on that, you know, in that tower, but I guess, I don't know, maybe it's a trilogy prequel or something.
Well, it's a conspiracy. Rock is a conspiracy.
I don't know, because I know Sleepless in Seattle it was a long time ago, but it's odd to wait till 2016 to do Sleepless, which I can only assume is a prequel to Sleepless in Seattle. I don't know how it's gonna tie in together, but you know, I'm gonna watch. Maybe it's like the Rogue One of the Sleepless franchise.
I don't think they are connected then.
I don't know. Why would they name it Sleepless and the other one Sleepless in Seattle, Karen, if it's not connected in the same movie universe? Mm-mm. Well, all right. You'll be surprised. You know what I miss the most about President Obama being gone?
What?
All the commercials with smart black people. Y'all remember that 8 years ago? Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden the Super Bowl commercials, you couldn't do any fucking advertisement without a smart black person walking up to a stupid white dude and telling them something? Like, it's a trend. We take it for granted now. You probably still see it and you don't realize it's happening.
Oh, yeah, they got
it. It was, but when it happened, it was groundbreaking. It was like, oh, what is this? What is this? Is that nigga wearing a Best Buy shirt? And he just come over and be like the father would come in with his family and he just be like, I don't know. How do you use an iPhone? Do you bang it on the ground? I'm just an idiot. And then a black person always come over like, sir, have you heard about our Sprint family plan or whatever the fuck, you know? It's always like white people got problems, and then some smart like natural hair sister come over and be like, oh, have you signed up for the new mobile app? And then you're like, oh damn, yeah, what a helpful black person.
Jobs. Don't want them to not be working.
I don't know if they're gonna be working, man. People not counting those as jobs are getting laid off, but
they are.
Yeah. I wonder if under Trump it's gonna change. The stupid white man gonna start being right. The black people not gonna even have a job. Mm-mm. No more.
They
know?
Gonna come to the black people to tell them how they wrong for picking the TV.
Right. It's gonna come.
I don't think you two can afford this TV with that credit.
Yep. You know, this TV is 47 inches. Sir, this TV can fit in the palm of my hand. Alternate facts. Get out of the store. I tried to listen to the new Lox album, speaking of music, guys.
What?
I don't know if y'all heard.
I didn't know they had a new album.
The Lox have a new album, guys.
When the last album? 20 years ago? 15?
I don't know how long it's been since the Lox last album. The last one I listened to was We Are the Streets. Damn. It really is that old. Jesus. Yeah, We Are the Streets was the last one that they had. And that came out in 2000.
And then
they came out with Filthy America, It's Beautiful, in 2016, y'all. 40 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Full of hot fire.
I knew it had to be almost 20 years.
You would think in the 16 years, you know, that they would have some new experiences to talk about. Right?
It depends on the rap artist. There are some rap artists, they come back and they are flames. But then there are some, they never forget. And they trying to stay in the era, just pass them.
This is a song, the intro. It's called The Omen.
The Omen. Should I let it ride or make a nigga die? Let him see his kids or let his soul fly. In the project lobby, I ain't feeling godly. Put some coke on the floor, make it like a robbery. Manslaughter. For my thoughts alone, need holy water. Scenes from Law and Order. I'm just saying I gotta get it. That money, my niggas with it. My killer get acquitted with mask on. Hope you had a couple dollars you could pass on. You know them D-block boys getting it blast on. I can pull up dolo, no man, the omen. Middle of the street and get it on like a Roman. Pray for me, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me.
Let us pray.
When I die, what will the angels say for me? I send me to hell, probably give a K to me. To kill the devil, they know I got away with it. Love is love at first, it's evil is evil, I need to. I'm dirty like a dope head needle. 180 negatives, repetitive.
Now I know all the New York people listening to this love it, but I gotta say, guys, I can't listen to the album. I'm not even saying the music is whack, honestly. I'm not even trying to say that's why. These niggas on a juice bar, dog. It's over. It's
your
over.
Your feelings still hurt about the juice bar?
It's over for y'all, man. You can't be talking about all the people you killed.
And you a grandpa.
And you out here saving people's lives with your delicious,
trying
healthy
to get
juice.
People fit.
Yeah, you helping people beat diabetes with
change their lives.
With delicious, tasty, healthy juice. And then you come on the track and be like, nigga, I killed your son, I buried your whole family. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard
to make a difference in the world.
Yeah, it's hard to, I mean, forgive me. It's hard to reconcile both sides of this coin, man. On the one hand, you teaching me that kale and carrots and beets
make a great smoothie.
Can lower my blood pressure.
And cholesterol.
But then on this side, you telling me that if I look at you the wrong way, you put two in my dog. And then you gonna fucking kidnap my wife for the baby money. I don't know what's happening, guys. It's too much to maintain as a 38-year-old man. I feel like y'all older than me. Y'all supposed to be on some new shit. Like, can't y'all be rapping about how fucked up Trump is or, you know, Fox News?
Retirement plans.
Yeah, like,
I don't know. Maybe, am I the only one that's like, hey, I think it's because I'm old. I think it's cool to talk about, to rap about how I pay my bills on time, you know, my 401k, what I'm contributing to it, you know, shit like that. My
I just feel, I just feel like y'all supposed to be off this. That's all. Tell me how y'all balance the books with the juice bar every month. I can use that information.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm a small business owner myself.
Tell me about your debits and credits.
Right. I would like to know, how do you write that off? You know, let me know mm-hmm. some things that can help me. Don't just tell me that you gonna kill the whole basketball team that my son is on because I came up short on your coke money. I just don't know how to process
right.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not even saying y'all lying. Maybe y'all do kill a whole bunch of people, but then y'all
hard to believe.
But then y'all save a whole bunch of people with juice. It's too much. I'm sorry, Lox. Don't be mad, okay? If you're listening to this, I'm not even saying it's whack. I can't go back to killing after what y'all have given my life, the meaning y'all have given me. Also, most definite album is trash. Let's see.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard nothing.
I'm just telling you. That's a fact.
Thank you for letting me know. I won't listen. I wasn't gonna listen. No way, but thank you.
Yeah, new most definite album is trash. They let you out of Africa for that, bro. Really? You came all the way back for that. You're too goddamn talented. Most Def to Carmelo Anthony a hip hop. Yeah, I said it. And I know y'all mad out there.
I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm from New York. What's really good, son? I don't play no games, yo.
Right. I understand. But the album's trash, guys. I'm sorry. All right. let's get into these. Speaking of New York. If y'all don't want people moving there, stop making all these motherfucking movies and TV shows that make living in New York look so glamorous on fucking a dishwasher salary,
like you know, Luke Cage got a dishwasher salary and then got a good apartment over a fucking laundromat washing dishes. Yeah, two broke girls as waitresses and shit.
I protest that goddamn show.
You got you know, like so many movies are like, she was a barista and she also stayed right off of Hollywood Boulevard or whatever.
That's,
you know,
not true.
Some, you know, she also stayed in Malibu. And you're like,
yeah, we know most people live outside of New York because the shit is so expensive.
I know whiteness gotta be great. I'm not saying people even live outside of New York, Karen. I'm saying they don't live in the way that they show them living on the show. It's like, oh, I'm a columnist and I write one column a week about New York City and shoes or some shit. It's like, cool. How the fuck do you have a Manhattan apartment though? Nigga, we know these prices on these streets. They're not paying that to write one column a week in the paper. Come on, Jessica. What you doing? You're not fooling nobody, man. And then when people move up there and their dreams get crushed and they don't make it, they always blame them, like, ha, you stupid, you couldn't cut it in New York. Y'all lied, dog. It's false advertising all the way to get to New York. And then you get there and it's fucking pizza rat and shit, and it's like, oh, this is what it really is. Okay, so y'all niggas gotta make, how much you gotta make to live in Brooklyn? Because all the movies I saw made it seem like you could just live in Brooklyn and sell drugs. Now
they done re-gentrified everything.
You gotta open up a shop for artisanal cheeses in order to even make like scrape by in Brooklyn. That don't make no sense, dog. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to dish y'all city, but I'm just saying, I know how you feel.
I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm from New York. What's really good, son? I don't play no games, yo.
I get it.
Nope, I'm not trying to dish it anything either. But while we talking about it, I know a lot of people from up north come down here. Quit talking about us when you come down here. Like that, like, I have a problem when people from New York come down here and act like New York is the goddamn greatest. Why are you black ass down here then? Go on back up to New York if it's the fucking greatest.
I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm from New York. What's really good, son? I don't play no games, yo.
And the only reason why I'm saying that, because a lot of people from up there come here and they complain, and you looking like, nigga, what you complaining for? Go on back up north. When it snows, everything shut down. Bitch, you at home too. I don't see your ass going in
the from Brooklyn, so I'm from New York. What's really good, son? I don't play no games, yo.
All right. Pop off. I'm just saying.
I mean, yeah, like I said, overall, don't have no problem with you. Come down here, have a good time, enjoy our beautiful weather, but don't come down here, complain about the South and you live next door to me.
Complain about the black ice. You sound racist to me. You ain't got no problem with the white ice up north. You come down here and now you mad about the black ice on the roads? You're not slick, New Yorkers. Anyway, let's stop talking about these big city slickers and move into some news. One of my favorite big city slickers, Jay-Z, he in the news, y'all. Sprint acquires 33% of Tidal and creates game changer partnership. Tidal and its artists will deliver exclusive content to help Sprint acquire new customers, reward certain current customers. Sprint will make Tidal available to its 45 million post and prepaid customers. Sprint CEO Marcelo Claure to join Tidal board of directors as well. New York and Overland Park. Okay, cool. Yeah, as part of the partnership, Sprint will acquire 33% of Tidal. Jay-Z and the artist owners will continue to run Tidal's artist-centric service as it pioneers and grows the direct relationship between artists and fans. Yo, they were spitting on these people, Graves, so hard. Motherfuckers been waiting for this shit to fail. And they've been waiting for it to, like, go under or to be bought and be like, look, told you motherfucker didn't know what he was doing. Cause they love saying that shit about some black people, essentially. They don't say that shit about Spotify. They don't say that shit about Amazon's.
A lot of people are anti-black. A lot of black folks anti-black. A
lot of excuses flying, but y'all don't care or know the inner workings of this other shit. Some artists got together and decided to make a platform for their own where they have a little bit more control and make a little bit more revenue. And all of a sudden, everybody got a problem with it. It's cost the same $9.99 for your basic plan as Spotify. And if you want to pay more so you can get some like high HD type sounds, you can do that. And it doesn't, and you don't have to, and it doesn't hurt nobody. And people get mad as fuck for some reason. They got exclusives. Apple got exclusives. Nobody get mad at Apple exclusives. Everybody mad at Tidal exclusives. Like, the reading, it's right there on the wall. The writing's right there on the wall. you know, and especially since the main two people who are the face of that are Jay-Z and Beyonce, but y'all niggas ain't, y'all ain't slick. Anyway, they're partnering up. Sprint has 45 million customers. Basically you'll be able to like have stuff on your phone, you know, maybe even some exclusive stuff. And word on the street is they bought the 33% for $200 million, and I believe Jay-Z bought all of Tidal for what, 45 million or something?
I think somebody said
56 million. Mm-hmm. So
he got his money back.
What, 2 years later you sell a third of it for 200 million? I mean, everything's gravy after that, right? That's a good ass businessman, dog. All right, let's see what else happened. Oh, speaking of black business, Keke Palmer has accused Trey Songz of using her likeness without her permission.
Oh shit.
Yeah, Mr. Steel Yo Snaps. I guess, long story short, she went to a party or something. He decided that he was going to use footage from the party as part of a video he wanted to put out. He apparently asked, or I don't know, he asked her for permission. She said no.
And that should have been the end of it then.
Right. He decided to record her anyway and to put the video out anyway.
Oh, that's open to shape.
And so then she said on social media, basically, I don't approve of this. Take this shit down. Yeah, somebody hit her up and said, hey, you know, you in this video, that's my baby. And she replied, this is not approved. You cannot use someone's likeness without their approval. Casing a point of female disrespect in the industry. And I think she meant case in point, but okay. Someone was like, oh, but they put you in it, blah, blah, blah. She said, I literally said no. I can't believe they still put me in it. I said no. She took to Instagram where she released a series of videos and a drawn out statement elaborating on the situation. This is preposterous. How am I in this video, Trey? She wrote on Instagram, attached to her statement was a screen grab of the music video that was originally posted on the Shade Room. She then proceeded to tell the story in which she alleged that she felt so uncomfortable. She hid in a closet in order to avoid conflict with Trey and his music team. You found me in a closet hiding because I was so afraid of any more conflict. Literally, my last option was to hide because you all would not listen when I said I did not want to be in the video the first time, she explained. Just because you give someone food and alcohol and throw in a little sexual intimidation doesn't mean they will buckle. So it was funny because people started pulling you like, what do you mean sexual intimidation? Which, if you have aggressive dude coming at you,
come on,
that's part of the, it's added to the intimidation. It's not necessarily considered the same. Mm-mm. The other thing too was it seemed pretty open and shut in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, I really can't believe, because I saw people kind of like trying to take quote-unquote Trey Songz's side. Here's what Trey Songz said. Baby girl bugging, point blank period, got my number, could have called, saw the cameras and the lights, heard action. So as far as he's concerned, your presence means you approve. So even if you said no, I don't want to be in it, even if you went and hid in the closet and they pulled you out of the closet, you know, and who knows what reason she might not have wanted to be in the fucking video.
Correct.
She might have not wanted to be in the video because she might have not felt she looked her best. She might have not, since you didn't tell her she was shooting a video, she might not have came prepared, dressed a certain way. You know, there's all kinds of deals that people have fashion wise that when you're a brand, like, I can't be seen in Nikes or whatever. I can't be seen holding the iPhone because I got a deal with Sprint or Samsung or whatever the fuck. Like, you don't know. And because you didn't clear all that shit and get some type of permission, and what I see from that tweet isn't, here's what she said. Yes, I see, I mean, she ain't make me do nothing. She ain't punch me in my face, you know? And so people got in their feelings, and I think part of it is because people don't like Keke Palmer. That's the only way I can see taking Trey Songz's side is, she said and done some weird stuff in the past. She's really eccentric. But I think black eccentricity is fucking, that's equality.
Yes, that is.
You know what I mean? Like,
people celebrate Amber Rose for going outside in some little ass shorts. Kiki Palmer does it, and it's like, there she go trying to get attention. You know what I mean? Like, she said some dumb shit about Ferguson, I remember. Said some dumb shit about when she was starring in the, What was she starring in? Like a play on Broadway or something? Mm-hmm. And she just downplayed the significance of being the first black woman to do that shit.
Yep.
And everybody had to be like, nigga, come on. Like, we are all rooting for you. What are you doing? I get it. You know, but that don't make her wrong for this shit. Like, the nigga literally has no fucking explanation other than just, I did, like, you don't have anything signed that she did. Mm-mm. They took the video down.
So that right there goes to show you all in itself. Somebody got to hold him like, nigga, you gonna need to take that down, because if she sues us, it's gonna be a problem. You didn't get a permission, and you basically publicly said you recorded her without her goddamn consent.
Right. And I feel real, it's shameful to see the way that people responded to her.
Right.
With the whole, like, you know, because I think not believing a black woman ain't exactly nothing new.
Come on.
But yeah, the way people kind of reveled in being on some like, nah, you should just be happy he put you in. It's like, nigga, what are you talking about?
Right.
It reminds me of when people hit us up and they're like, I want to put your show on my website. And we're like, what the fuck is in it for us? And then they're like, you know, whatever condescending reasoning they have. And then we're like, nah, no thank you. And then they'll like condescend and talk shit to us. And you're like, that's disrespect, dog. Like, you want me to pick up a motherfucking phone? This video is public. It's too late for that.
Right.
Why is it my responsibility as the aggrieved party to keep the shit private? No, I'm going to file my copyright frame, a lawsuit or whatever. I'm going to give you my cease and desist, and you're going to take my shit down. That's the end of it. I said no. What about no was so fucking complicated? You know what I mean? You couldn't even refer, like, and then people are like, well, he referred to her in the video. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where a video is being shot. It's not shot in sequential order. The song's not always played. You don't even always know what the fuck it's about. And if you just show up somewhere so they can be like, and I'm down with Kiki Palmer, Kiki, it's not really necessarily that you knew the lyrics or had anything to do with that fucking song. And it's also kind of some bullshit if you invite me over on Ulterior Motive that you really just want to get free labor from me by just having me there and be like, oh, she in my video, it's an appearance. You know, it's like if fucking Kanye really filmed Teyana Taylor working out and was like, she went to work out of my house. I mean, I recorded it. She ain't say no. She said no, but she ain't leave. So I put a whole video out of her working out. You know, like, stop acting like you're doing me a favor, dog.
Right. And a lot of this boils down to you don't respect her because she's a motherfucking woman. If a man would have told you no, you would have not have recorded that shit. You would not have put that goddamn shit up. You did it because she was a woman and you quote unquote thought you could get away with that bullshit.
And that was her point too. Was you wouldn't have done this to a dude,
right? And you aggressively went after me, and who knows what they said to her. Like, people not talking about that. Who knows what the fuck they said to her to cause her to hide a grown woman to hide in the motherfucking closet. They fucking found her and pulled her out the closet. Who knows what they said to her? Who knows, you know, how aggressive they were? Who knows what they did? And like she say, it's the same thing people use to say about rape. You always bring the victim. Just because you feed me, give me a motherfucking drink, it does not mean you owe me.
Right. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Right. If I come down your house, and it's like, I'm a celebrity, dog. I get paid for this. So if I get paid for this appearance, for all the shit I do, how you just gonna decide, well, I ain't paying you, and I guess you shouldn't have came to my house for a party? Nigga, if I come to your house to watch the game, that doesn't mean you could film me and sell it. You know what I mean? It's not how it works. You know what I mean? Especially with someone that is a celebrity. Like, I remember, you know, we had an awkward situation where, and we talked about it openly on the show, but when I made the calendars and all I was thinking was, oh, cool, pictures with me and Karen and all our friends from last year, we can like, get these away to our fans and shit. Now, at no point was I gonna sell them, but mm-mm, still.
You still needed permission.
I went and got everybody's permission. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, I'll throw these calendars in the fucking trash and start over before even one person, if one person would have, if one person would have been like, nope. Nah. And I think we kind of are fortunate. I wasn't trying. I had no financial motive. Mm-mm. When doing it. It cost us money to print the calendars. We don't make shit off of them. Also, I didn't pick people on some like, how can I capitalize off of their fame or value or worth?
We got real working relationships with all those people.
Everybody in those pictures are people I consider friends.
Right.
So it was very easy to kind of be like, oh man, like I fucked up, but and it's a trust factor too. They were like, hey, I get, you know, it's cool. Some of them was even like, man, you should sell the calendars to make money anyway. And I still don't want to do that. Nope. But the point being, that's the kind of relationship we had, but nobody would have got a calendar if even one of them had said no.
Right.
Not even the other people. I would have just thrown them in the trash and like, yo, so-and-so don't want their picture out there. Mm-mm. That was a mistake, and that's just me not knowing it's a business. That's private emails, private direct messages and phone calls and texts and shit between me and all those people before I put something out in the world.
Before.
If he couldn't have did that, y'all. Like, y'all, people really trying to act like that was the most unreasonable fucking thing to think of.
Well, he had her number, too. Why she got the call? Why he couldn't have been like, hey, I got this recording of you. I'm thinking about putting it out. She'd be like, well, nigga, I told you no.
See, that's the other thing. Phones work both ways.
Yeah, they do.
And I can't stand a motherfucker that didn't give me the courtesy call, but then goes out and does some shit in public and then wants me to privately clean up their shit. That's happened to me more than once. Yes, and everybody knows I do not fuck around like that. So if you want to publicly chastise me or some shit, be prepared to get publicly scolded or publicly hear a response, because you didn't have the courtesy to privately do shit. You know, and people like that always paint themselves as the victim. They always like, but clearly this dude's wrong. He didn't provide, he didn't go, guys, she signed a release form. Okay, guys, so I don't know what she's telling y'all, but she's lying. That's, the video would still be up and he'd be like, see me in court.
Right, but you didn't do that. Now, it'd have been completely different if you would have been like, hey, I want y'all to know I'm recording this for video. Everybody needs to sign this form. Before you come in here, we started recording. That's completely different. Guess what? She might have said, I'm not taking my ass in there, and left.
Right. But I'm sure she tried to stand up to him and tell him, hey, that's enough. Right. I don't like.
But if the nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy. You understand?
And she was like, oh shit, let me go hide in the closet. Let me go hide in the closet. Because apparently, if a nigga. He would go to fuck crazy, okay? But yeah, man, so, you know, she made a whole lot of videos about it, and she was distraught, and everybody was like, you just doing too much and all this shit, but whatever, nigga.
She wouldn't have been doing too much if
you hadn't have put it in your video.
Right, in the first place, particularly after she told you no. And my thing is, if you had her permission, why is the video down? Like, him taking the video down speak volumes, because it's one of them things where it was like, oh, I can really get sued. Yes, nigga, yes, she could sue you.
You know what's funny too is like, so many people that I saw having a problem with her are people that I normally see talking about pay black women and give, you know, don't be trying to take somebody's labor and shit like this. Nigga, her appearance is part of her labor.
Right.
Come on, man. That's fucked up. And if she got a problem with it, then she got a problem with it. Like, end. It comes down. That was it, you know? The shit happens all the time. I remember people was posting them fucking lies about Kim Kardashian not faking a robbery for TV.
Come on.
She sent the lawyers through, apologies the next day, end of discussion. You know, they didn't go, baby girl tripping. Here she go with that bullshit. Like, come on, man. Just admit the truth, man. Just like, hey, my bad. I just thought we were cooler than that. I thought it wouldn't be a big problem. Or probably truth is, I don't respect you, and I just thought I could do what the fuck I want to do.
Right, which is the biggest problem. I'm like, okay, motherfucker, you don't respect me. Respect these papers that you about to receive. Respect that.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. But, yeah, I saw people trying to be like, well, it was weird. People were treating it like it was this issue where it's like, well, I kind of want to see his side, and everybody was making up all these extraneous circumstances that they have no reason to believe, and things that if he wanted to defend himself and this shit happened that way, he could just say, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And instead people were just coming out, well, what if she signed a release form but then he lost it? And they're like, what, why are we doing this?
Because if she'd have signed shit, it would have been like, hey, he would immediately came out and say, hey, she signed this, I'm gonna do what I want to do. Sign shit.
Here's my thing. If she signs something, then just, you're gonna have to put it out. That's it. I'm not just buying baby girl tripping as a fucking excuse.
No.
That's just relying on society that always dismisses people that, especially women and especially black women. That's just relying on society to do the work for you. Oh, she just tripping, y'all. She do be tripping. And then next thing you know, niggas is giving him excuses for why it's okay. Right.
And then you wonder why women get fucking angry and enraged off of that bullshit.
Yeah. I think I have to refresh because I want to show everybody this video, but it's in a different panel.
No problem.
What?
No problem.
And it doesn't look like it's populating. So give me a second, guys. I'm going to refresh.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's the shit that actually infuriates you and make you mad because, like, you really thought, and not trying funny, she's a celebrity. Imagine how many normal people he done that shit to, and they didn't have no recourse or they couldn't afford to sue his ass.
Yeah, when you're a celebrity, it's a little bit different because you do make money off your likeness.
Right.
Like, maybe some random person would just sign up on some, like, oh, I got to be in a Trey Song video. How cool. But that's not a thing that she does. And that's, and
her image is her product.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so funny. Anytime a black woman demand to be paid for some shit that other people get paid for, it's always on some like, why you ain't just doing this for the people? Why you ain't just doing this for the cause? Why you trying to be greedy? Everything but, well, I do owe you. How much would it cost? Like, he could have hit her up with, yo, you don't want to be in the video for free. Like, what are we looking at? Who I need to talk to about my budget to pay you?
Right. And she could have did something about it. But it's also, it's one of those things too, you know what? And people will think a black woman wrong when she would go, well, fuck you and your people, motherfucker, pay me. Pay me!
Mm-hmm.
Why do I got to do it for the people?
Mm-hmm. Cause he ain't doing it for free.
What? Come on!
You know when they go buy copies of that album, he not about to do nothing but take it straight to the bank for himself. Like, it's just such bullshit, man. But, yeah, that's that thing. And then when someone says, no, you save yourself so for yourself. Forget about them. Selfishly. Save yourself. Hey, okay, no. You could have mentioned any other woman in your fucking video that you wanted down there and said, yo, there are other women that would have come through for free.
For free. And
there are women that are nobody that you could have mentioned in your video. No offense to those ladies, but there are women you could have mentioned that really could have used a shout out and they would have been there for free. Right? The problem is you wanted to capitalize off of her image and you needed it to be her for a specific reason. The reason you named out her in the song was for a specific reason, but yet you don't want her to make money off that specific reason. So if you don't want her to make money off that specific reason, then why don't you just name somebody else or don't have her in the video? It's not like you couldn't mention her in the song. You could mention somebody in the song and not, like, you could be like, oh, that she my Beyonce, and nobody's gonna be like, boy, you better cease and desist. But you can't, like, say she my Beyonce and then, like, throw a Super Bowl party and then, like, film Beyonce and be like, oh, shit, for free, thank you. And then when she get mad, be like, I don't understand. She said no, but she should be thankful. There's a lot of people that act like they're doing you a favor, though, when they do that shit.
All right, you ain't doing me no motherfucking favor.
All right, can y'all see the video?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Let me see if I can play this. Apparently, there's a pastor speaking to his congregation. And he had a message on his heart.
How ironic is that? I'm hurting because I've hurt you. I'm talking to Jacob Chapman. Can't speak for people on the outside because I'm not Tallahassee's pastor. I'm not Florida's pastor. I'm not the Lord's pastor. I'm Jacob Chapel's pastor. It hurts me that you have to defend my actions. Because love somebody, you want to fight for them. You want to defend them. But let me be very clear. You cannot defend sin. What I preach to you each and every Sunday, you don't get defensive or try to justify sin. This ain't about nobody else but me. The world doesn't operate like we operate. And so you will be attacked for loving me. There may be some folk here today in this room who came to see what was going to happen.
Amen.
I know that's why I'm here. I'm nosy. Amen. What is going to happen?
What is he going to say?
Right.
Explain.
Right.
You can't jump in the ocean because you can't survive with sharks out there. I'm talking about the internet. You jump in that water and you try to go back and forth with folk, address this, respond to that. The sharks eat you up because that's their world.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you and I
died
on social media and all that stuff, and so every now and then when we jump in, we get bit.
Come on now.
You can't defend sin. You got to defer to your Savior. Amen.
That's right.
The same Jesus I preach to you every Sunday. Amen.
That's all he's saying, Karen.
You defer to him. Because when you love somebody, it's tempting to jump out there.
Mm-hmm.
My baby brother is here sitting on the end. They have to keep him from shooting people.
Keep him from shooting
people.
He ain't
always saved yet.
Now, you might be wondering, what is he apologizing for?
Okay, he gonna tell me, right?
Well, apparently, he slept with one of the members' wives.
What?
Mm-hmm. He shoved in the ocean and swam with them sharks that we call sand, Karen.
What I want from God, I've already received that.
Forgiveness.
And that's his forgiveness.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. He done forgave me, so y'all need to let this shit go. All the 10%.
What I am asking of our members is something I may or may not get, and that is your prayers, and I'm asking for your forgiveness.
And for one of you specifically, I'm asking for your wife. Tell her I will be calling tonight. Standing ovation? Word? Standing O. The person recording this is so shady because they stood up too. They stood up like they like, yes. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to put this on the gram.
That she's gonna walk with me.
Come on, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's right.
They talking about his wife?
He got a what? What?
I don't know. I'm just
asking. Assuming that's his wife, too?
I don't know.
That's right.
I mean, why else would everybody be clapping? Who else could it be talking about?
My husband.
Then you talking about the other dude's wife?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be clapping for that, would they?
I don't know.
And that is Mrs. Jenkins. Mrs. Jenkins, I'm sorry, Larry. I'm sorry. Somebody hold him. Brother, don't shoot him. Don't shoot him, brother. Energy when I was humping on that woman. Boy, did I have some energy. I'm talking all the styles, doggy style. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking multiple cum shots, if y'all know what I mean. Come on. Come on. Can I get an amen? That's too far? That's too much? Okay.
But I have to be clear that God is pushing us forward. Yeah. Pushing us.
Oh, we in it together now. I ain't getting no pussy. I ain't getting no pussy, dog. What you doing? She ain't make me no meals. Try us. I just want y'all to know. It's like we all fucked her, really.
Preacher friend of ours, Brian Cole. He's a friend of both of us. He called and he said, God, I'm praying for you. I promise. I said, I appreciate that. And he said, preaching in Miami, who used to live not in us, preaching in Miami said that your deacons are meeting and they're getting ready to vote you out. A preacher in Miami.
Now, who told this nigga? That's what he sound like.
The internet. Them sharks.
The folk in Tallahassee.
It's gonna be AME Zion Church or something.
That's why preachers against gossip. Because they be telling all my business.
He doesn't know me. He doesn't know my church. We're not friends, so I'm not sure. Yeah. It's like this. If I stop preaching, if I stop doing what the Lord called me to do over this, it presupposes that I was qualified to do it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So I will keep taking y'all money. Pass around the plates.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And dollars.
If I quit, if I walk away over this, it presupposes that I deserved to preach last Sunday when there was no Sabbath.
I like that. I do like the logistics of that argument. I do. See, you can never be worthy of God's grace, Karen. So just because y'all found out I'm fucking somebody, another a congregation member's wife, doesn't mean that I should quit, because I was a sinner before then. So I should have never been up here if that's the case. I don't even need a break. I got bills to pay.
I was a wretch undone when he called. I'm a work in progress now. But with the Lord on our side.
Somebody gotta take Eddie Long place. Why not this guy? Why not? I feel like it's just that, I don't know. Maybe it's just church. I don't know. He's married. He was seen running naked from the side piece of his house when the husband came home and found the affair taking place in his child's bed.
What?
Pastor O. Jermaine Simmons.
Oh, this is wrong.
But Karen, he's talking like
Joe Buttons. So clearly he can't be wrong.
Give a damn who you talking about. You ain't got no business up there in the pulpit talking to these people off of that shit. Yes, you need to be voted out. Yes, your ass don't need to be preaching right now. Nope.
He was mad they told a preacher. He was mad a preacher from Miami found out. He was
mad. I wouldn't want you talking to me. And you know, and it's amazing how, and this is one of the biggest problems that I have with church and organized religion, is for the fact that everybody's a sinner.
There's no accountability.
Right. There's no accountability. People clapping. Nobody's demanding that he does not have that job. Nobody's demanding that he apologizes to this family in public. Because the thing is, you preacher have affected a whole nother family.
But I'm talking like this, so it's okay.
I don't give a good goddamn how you talk. You wrong.
Listen, when I was in them cheeks that night and many other nights, I was still up here preaching, and I got me a woman that's gone be a fool with me. I'm sorry. I got me a woman that's gonna go through this with me in public forever.
Yeah, that's what you think. You mess around, it can't be first lady no more. You might be getting them papers
to death do you part. Karen, what about to death do you part?
She might have signed up to be first lady and realized she can't be first lady no more.
Sound like you don't believe in holy matrimony, Karen. You don't believe in love. You don't believe in love, Karen? MTO News got the scoop.
Who's MTO News?
I don't know what MTO stands for. Media Takeout.
Okay.
You know they got the scoop.
You know they got the scoop.
Yeah, it said he was caught in the bed with a wife of a church member and was nearly shot. Read the shocking police report.
Yeah, and the thing is, my opinion, not the first time, this first time he got caught.
Oh yeah, no way, this the only time. That's wild that his, I mean, it's only probably been a short period of time, so you know, a lot of times even to get all the things in order that you need to leave, you know. Yeah, this happened the 21st that this story came out, so yesterday was 22nd, so basically it's only been a day. But she gonna walk that walk with him.
I cannot
believe all the women clap for that. Oh my God.
Right. That, right. People, yes, are devastated.
Be a fool, girl. Yes. Let him drag your ass with him. Yes.
Yeah.
He fucking me too. These ain't my kids. They have his. Yeah, apparently the police report said, contacted Consolidated, they marked out the name, CDA, this Consolidated Dispatch Agency, to report that she had been assaulted by her husband. Miss so-and-so told call takers that Mr. so-and-so had arrived at their residence, found her with another male subject, and then reportedly threatened the two with a handgun. They dispatched officers around 2:43 p.m. Arrived at the scene around 2:46 p.m. And the dude had left prior to their arrival. The officers made contact with the lady and the male subject that had been in her company. Orinthius Simmons. Miss so-and-so was uninjured. Mr. Simmons, also uninjured, was hiding behind a privacy fence in a state of undress. So he was naked, hiding behind a fence. Honestly, if this hadn't made a police report, he would have just kept lying.
Of course.
She provided a sworn statement, and initially indicated that, she wished to seek prosecution. Mr. Simmons declined to provide a sworn statement and declined to seek prosecution. Yeah, he was trying to stay out of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seemed like the honorable thing to do. I'm just gonna let this man with a gun, right? Okay. During the course of the scene investigation, it was learned that Mr. Simmons is the pastor of the church that Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so attend. Mrs. So-and-so stated that on the date of the incident, Mr. Simmons had come to a resident and they engaged in sexual activity. As they were also engaged, staff at the Appalachia Elementary School attempted to contact her via telephone to inform her that her six-year-old son was ill. After failing to reach her, they contacted the father.
Holy shit, so he came back with the baby.
Mm-hmm. So now you can't bring your son in the house, your sick son. She advised that when he arrived at the residence with their son, he discovered that her and Mr. Simmons were lying upon her daughter's bed, engaged in sexual activity. She stated that he loudly exclaimed, "I'm going to kill him," at which point Mr. Simmons immediately fled the apartment in a state of undress. From that point on, Mr. Simmons was not a witness to any part of this incident.
You stand up in front of the goddamn, get away from me.
He must have came home been hot.
Just promise me you're gonna smoke his ass
like a motherfucking pack of cools.
So
these are niggas that go, I don't got no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram. He that dude.
Which one?
Because it's so tempting to pass it, because it's so tempting. Oh. You know,
get off of Facebook.
Mm-hmm. I ain't got it because ain't nothing out there but trouble.
Like a motherfucking pack of cools.
I dealt with them internet
cools.
With them sharks.
Mm-mm-mm.
Them sharks have your ass butt naked.
Then he was up in church like, I ain't no hoe. Y'all some hoes.
and it became us. Us who?
We gonna get through this together.
No, we not.
Before you call me a cheap hoe, worry about your daughter because you're the one who's having kids and don't know who the dad is. Who's the hoe now?
Who's the hoe now indeed? Let's go to section two. We gotta go to the next segment, Karen. Hold on.
You'll be able to buy yourself.
Listen, Karen, if I talk like this, you got to stay.
No, I don't.
Audience, y'all in this with us.
Mm-mm.
It's like all of us is out here fucking these hoes.
No, we not. All of us is not fucking them hoes.
It's like we all on them hoes together.
Right. Bring your wife home a fucking STD. Get out of here.
It's like we all fucked up and had the kids. That's why it's also y'all responsibility as a congregation to raise some money to take care of my illegitimate children. I'm gonna need child support not gonna pay itself. Mm-mm. And it's like it's like we both disappointing each other. I'm disappointed in me. Y'all disappointed in me, and I'm disappointed in you, you know, as a congregation for telling people that I was fucking other people. I mean, he said, how did a pastor from Miami find out? Niggas on the internet.
On the internet.
Oh my God. Mm-mm-mm. Well, you know what?
He not know how the internet works.
More power to you, buddy. Get out here and you get to cheating on these women, okay? Mm-mm. I mean, because if she'll stay then, I mean, is it your responsibility to fix that?
No, I ain't got nothing to do with that. But
what's he supposed to do? He can't leave.
But you as a congresswoman, shit.
You as a congregation? A
congregational member, you got choices, and you can be like, Kim.
Listen, you know attendance was fucking standing room only that day. Come on, Karen. Come on, buddy. You know, they ain't never been packed like they was packed the day after that news broke.
Oh, because everybody trying to find out what happened.
Woo. You know, people that...
I ain't never seen this packed at 8 a.m. service.
People wasn't even dressing up. People was coming there in regular ass clothes.
Ain't never been this packed for Sunday school. What's happening up in here today?
Right.
Somebody heard he gonna make that announcement.
People coming up in there in their basketball clothes. People coming in there in their work uniform. Like, I got to be here.
I know. Somebody was at the club go, girl, you heard Pat. Girl, we got to get there.
Mm-hmm. When he coming out? When is he coming out to talk?
Is it 11 a.m. service? What services? You know they got three services.
Just pass the speech ever.
I got a Facebook invite.
Girl, what you doing tomorrow before the game? I'm going to see Pastor O. See what he explained this. You think he had to explain it three times? Like, they had three services?
Every service.
So in the morning, he got to explain it. And
Yeah, he got to do the 8 a.m. service, the 10 o'clock service, then they probably have 11 or 12 o'clock service. Do you know they probably had an afternoon usher bird service?
Yeah, bro, you just got to say,
you got to take that L and sit your ass down somewhere.
Nah, you just got to say you're a sex addict. That's what you got to say, dog. It's the only way out. You're addicted to sex, man. Sad, sad addiction.
Tell other people
that a lot of men have. After they cheat on their woman, a lot of men get it. That's how they get it. It's the only way I've seen people get it is by getting caught cheating. You got to get caught cheating, and then you got the sex addiction. I think that's the stages of sex addiction. One, get caught. No, I'm sorry. One, cheat. Two, get caught. Three, sex addiction. That's how you get out of it. I'm addicted to sex.
Anybody, at least Tiger Woods fed him.
All of us sinning together. Okay. Who are me to judge?
Who is me to judge?
All right. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People. The game where we go all around the globe, we find different articles from zero, and we rate them from 0 to 100 intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's go across the pond, shall we? York trustee apologizes for using racial slur. Little in way of punishment for Nancy Elge, who says she will attend some equity training provided to other a longtime York region trustee has admitted to using a racial slur against a black parent, emailing an apology for the horribly unacceptable statement as calls for her resignation continue. There is no excuse for what I said, only the explanation that I was clumsily trying to refer to your concerns as reported in the media, not to you personally, said Nancy Elge of the incident last November when she referred to Charlene Grant as nigger in public after a meeting. Whoops, my bad.
But you ain't racist.
Well, Karen, I hate to tell you this, but we can't be mad at her because she also has some mental health issues going on.
I give zero fucks.
As soon as my brain registered what I had said, I was overcome with shock and dismay.
Mm-mm, you use that word often, baby, because it flows off your lips with ease. It's something that you use often, something that you use all the time.
Shut up, nigga. I can't believe I said that.
Again.
I'm so shocked and dismayed. I'm the real victim here. I think I've been punished enough. My conscience will be my punishment forever.
I demand you lose that job too. Fuck you. Lose I felt that money. That's your punishment.
I felt heart sick and deeply ashamed to have said something so hurtful, even unintentionally, and so foreign to the values I have held throughout my entire life. Mm-hmm. Wrote Elgie, 82 years old, who probably was not. She was definitely racist before. Can't be like my entire life. Come on, dog. Who represents Georgina, she says, it also sickened me that I could have reinforced the systemic racism that so many have experienced in our country.
That you don't give a fuck about?
Mm-mm. I accidentally reinforced it by calling you a nigger. Grant told the star that she appreciated the apology. Of course, they always find the forgiving black person to talk to. And I appreciate the fact she acknowledged that she did say it, but I'm annoyed at the process, which Grant says confirms the board is still not open or transparent. She's also upset that no steps have been taken to discipline her. In an email, Elgie says she will attend the same equity training provided to all trustees. It's definitely not okay. It's definitely not enough, said Grant. She didn't hurt me privately. She hurt me publicly. She didn't just hurt me. She hurt my family. She hurt my community. In an email to the star, Elgie said she apologized and immediately explained to the person that whom I was speaking and have now extended that apology to the parent and others affected. I was fully open to with the investigator about what happened and accept her finding. Naturally, it is clear that by using such a horrible word, even inadvertently, I breached the policy. That is why I have tried to apologize and explain. Yeah, it's easy to be open and honest when ain't shit gonna happen to you.
Right. And
you apologize via email.
Come on.
You call me a nigga to my face though.
Yeah, you need to apologize to my face. Yeah, and because you know, see, I'm glad shit like this don't happen to me, because they would get tired of me. I would have a one woman protest. Fuck you, bitch. Lose your job.
Yeah, see, that's my thing is, not feel, well, 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
Yeah, 100 as well. And I'm not reading the rest of this puff piece. Here's the thing. It's kind of like the people that have been defending Richard Spencer after he got punched in the face. Cause now he's talking about how his ego is hurt because they was making memes and laughing at him. How dare everybody laugh at his neo-Nazi ass. And then of course there's white people talking about violence never solves anything. What the fuck have white people ever solved without violence?
Come on, this whole country was built on violence. People kill me with that. Do you know motherfuckers got mad and was like, fuck this tea, we aren't paying no taxes on no tea, and turned some tea over the motherfucking boat? We came here and fought England. It was fucking violent. What are we talking about, this non-violent shit?
I don't really care about Richard Spencer and his horrible shit. I'm glad he got punched in the face. I mean, I won't apologize for that, but I do think it's funny that these so-called allies and impartial white people who argue our rights as if they're fucking theory, because they're not real to them. Right. They don't live our experiences.
Nope.
I do find it interesting that they rush to his defense while claiming to be pro Black Lives Matter and all this shit.
And
I mean, where's your anti-violence when they killing us in these streets, dog? When are you saying violence never solves anything when the cops killing us? Right? Like, it's awfully fucking silent. It's awfully fucking silent when it's the cops killing us, right? It's all, matter of fact, we're too loud, right? When you're praising the marchers from this weekend because the police didn't have to quote unquote get involved or get violent, and skipping over the fact that the police just don't treat white people like that, but if it was a bunch of black people, they would. And the only thing that would change is the color of the people in the fucking march, not the tactics, not the words, not the actions, just the color of the people. And all of a sudden, ain't nobody taking selfies with police officers wearing little pink vagina hats. That shit was for y'all, but not for everybody. That's, it's one of the reasons that I think a lot of people resented the presence, because they was like, hey, if y'all would have been here for this other shit, we probably wouldn't have got fucking tear gassed and maced and people coming in our houses and fucking, you know, we wouldn't have had that. But more importantly, if you're not gonna say anything, then don't say anything. Don't wait till this dude gets punched in his face to start being like, what about the racist though?
What about him? What about motherfucking about him?
I had a person on my page that when I posted that link to that woman, they talked about was she had bipolar disorder. And even though in the article she says my bipolar disorder didn't make me say that shit,
just
I wasn't having an incident, I wasn't having a manic episode, I literally just said some racist shit. And then they went, no, but you're bipolar. And many times bipolar people won't admit that they're having a problem, because it had to be everything except, yeah, you said some racist shit, you need to own that. Further in that article, I didn't even finish reading it. Further in that article, it talks about she used to call 911 on people that drove Toyotas after call the FBI on them after 9/11. She might be racist, y'all. This is okay. So anyway, my point being, some people need to be punched in the face. And in my opinion, everybody needs to be punched in the face. It's really doing you a favor. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to be punched in the face for good or bad reasons. I'm saying a lot of us have lived lives where we're under assault daily anyway. So we know what it's like. You don't know any black people that don't understand what it means to be punched in the face, because life's constantly doing that to your ass anyway. You don't know any women that really just need to be punched in the face like that, right? Because life is, stay in this box or you will get fucked up, right? It's very rare, well, white women, but in general, it's very rare that you see a lot of marginalized people who don't understand that there are lines that can't be crossed where you will not be protected and shit like that. I get it. But there are some people, and you get older and you start to realize there's some people that just ain't never been punched in the face. And you can tell by how they don't know how to talk to people. You can tell they don't know how to act around people. You can tell by the things they expect to be able to get away with and the rules, quote unquote, of society that they feel that they live by, you know. And a lot of these people that are protecting Richard Spencer's the idea that he would get punched in the face for saying a bunch of racist and foul shit, the people that are protecting him, you either A, identify with him deep down,
right,
or B, you think you could be him one day because you think you're gonna say some stupid shit. This dude's not just saying stupid shit, he's saying dangerous shit. You know, I just say, like it's ridiculous for anyone to try to equate that with, like, and one time I was at a Kanye concert and I said nigga when he said nigga, and he told the whole crowd to say it, and I mean, someone might have punched me in my face. That's what you're afraid of. That's what you're really afraid of. You're afraid you're gonna be this dude one day, and that's why you're defending him. That's why you're jumping in front of a bullet for this dude. But all I see is enemies when you do that. When you do that, if you're not useful, you're useless. I see a bunch of useless ass people talking about violence won't solve anything. Violence solves a lot of shit. Violence has solved a lot of shit. It's one of the reasons I don't really categorize myself as a liberal person, because at the end of the day, I can see a reason to go to war. I can see a reason to kill a motherfucker. I'm not so principled that I can't just see, well, you know what, man? If he's just gonna fucking blow up a plane, we just gotta let him blow up a plane, man. I mean, maybe we should have been nicer to his family. When it's time to make that decision, I want the motherfucker with the gun on the trigger to be like, yeah, I'd rather just kill this one person than let 100 people die. Just mathematically. That's the way I think. And I don't think we're gonna ever have a society where there's no violence and there's none of this.
Right.
And we're just talking about a simple punch to the face. Now, personally, I prefer open hand slap. I think the disrespect is even better, but I'll take a punch. I mean, hey, if you give me a punch, I take the punch. But I'm just saying, when you see this shit, if your first reaction is to go, no, that won't solve anything, you ain't my type of person, and we'll never be friends. We'll never be cool. Like, cause when the shit comes down to it, you're useless in a fight. You're useless in any situation where I need you. Like, I can't trust you. Nope. Essentially, like, this nigga needed to be punched in his motherfucking face. Every time I see him, I think about, I wish somebody would punch him in his face. And for one brief second, all our prayers have been answered. And then the first thing motherfuckers do is flinch up. You know, it's like when Osama bin Laden got killed and everybody was on Twitter talking about how violence doesn't solve anything and his life is still gone and what about his family. And I was like, you motherfuckers have smoked yourself ridiculous at this point. Like, no, some motherfuckers gotta go, some motherfuckers gotta get punched in their face. A punch in the face is really a gift, honestly, because it's two things that you realize when the first time you get punched in your face. One, I can get punched in the face,
right?
That is a revelation, especially for a lot of you motherfuckers that grew up with parents that, you know, you never got hit, you always got time out.
You can tell people who have no form of discipline, it ain't even got to be physical, just no form of discipline.
Well, I'm specifically talking about physical discipline. Right. I mean what I'm saying right now. Even if it's just you never played with kids, you never got bullied, you never, like, you can just tell the people that just never really had to deal with the shit end of a stick ever. You know, and I'm not advocating for these people, like, everybody need to have terrible lives. No, I'm just saying, just once, whether it's for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, everybody got to be punched in the face, dog. And the second thing you learn after you get punched in the face is this: it's not the end of life. Life goes on. It's a valuable fucking lesson. Because at that point, what you learn is, what actions am I willing to do? What things am I willing to say that I'm willing to take a punch in the face for? It changes your whole view of life. If you never taken that punch to the face, if you've never been slapped down, if you've never justly or unjustly, you don't know yourself until you really have faced that punch in the face. That's when you really know what kind of person you are. Until then, it's all theory. You just think you'll do some shit. Oh, I'm gonna do this, and I'll say that, and I'll be that. Nigga, you
shit get real.
You'll find out is what you don't know. You just think you know. It's just a punch. It's not even, like I said, shoot a nigga in the face.
kill him, hang him. No. Just a punch in the face. And you fucking wussies already like, I'm out. Oh, it's getting crazy in here. What is happening in America? When they punched that dude at Trump rally, where the fuck were you? Where were you? What was the, there's no, violence is always wrong. It'll never solve anything. Where were you? You know, when these motherfuckers was fighting black women, when they were pulling black women out of the crowd, touching their bodies, because they used their freedom of speech. Where were you? It's too late. So if a motherfucker get punched in the face, they get punched in the face, dog. I'm not feeling no sympathy for that shit, and you can't make me. And if you do, you can get the fuck on, because you're useless. You're pointless. You're just out. You're like that. You're worse than that Mel Gibson movie where the dude don't have a gun, but he just be surviving all the wars. You're worse than that dude.
Not just surviving.
You're not even helping people. You just out here talking about, can't we talk this out in the middle of fucking bullets flying around? You're just a fucking body. Maybe a bullet shield. That's what you can be used as. I'll tell you what, if you think violence solves nothing, next time the cops had their guns drawn on some black person, hop out your car and stand between them and be like, violence solves nothing, and take them bullets for us. How about that? Fucking idiots, man. Anyway, I'm glad his feelings are hurt, and the memes of him getting punched, I watch them every time I see.
They were hilarious. I'm not even gonna lie.
The Solange one.
Oh, the Solange one was the best.
Karen showed it to me yesterday.
I was like, oh, this shit on beat.
Every time.
them drugs, they were like, doop, doop.
Yep. Fuck them, man.
I love Black Twitter.
Too busy feeling bad for people, man. You feel bad for all the wrong people. Fuck y'all. Useless motherfuckers, dog. You're so useless. Oh, I can't believe it, dog. Oh, we are so fucked as a country. No, then y'all are ready to, nobody's ready to resist. Nobody's ready to fight back, really. Not the right people, you know.
Not the right people.
Them people at the march, man, they useless. They gonna be useless. If you marched and then you went home, saw that video and went, well, that violence solves nothing, you can go. You can go. You didn't learn shit.
No, you did not.
You didn't learn a goddamn thing.
Not Tommy Flynn. That's why overall, as a collective group, I don't trust you. As a collective. Individually, it's different. As a group, no.
Everybody should have just said good. That's the end. You know, that's what everybody should have had the same response. Oh, cool. Niggas punching, people get punched in the face every day, B, and then change the channel and watch something else. Or do what I did. Laugh and watch it a million times. Fuck them. Nigga was about to explain that Pepe Frog, too. He was like, oh, Pepe? Yeah, see, this is what we use to tell the Jews and the niggas. Oh! And everybody's like, oh, God, I can't believe that. And like, he got assassinated. He got punched in the face. Words mean things. He'll fucking appreciate that next time. I'm not even saying the dude gonna stop being neo-Nazi or stop saying ridiculous shit. I'm not even saying that. But now he's been punched in the face, and we know that the things he says, he's even willing to get punched in the face for. That's all. That's all it means, man. All the people that brought about change in this country had to be willing to die for it.
Come on.
I just want to see if a motherfucking willing to take a punch in the face. That's it. But yeah, fuck them, and fuck you if you got his back, you hemming and hawing, useless ass, no good in a fight, motherfuckers. No good. You will watch us get beat and say nothing. I know it.
Be crickets.
I feel it.
Be crickets. And like I said, that's why I stand behind how I feel about that march. And until white women prove me wrong, I will continue to say that. Like I said, individually it's a whole nother story, but as a crew, no.
As a record label. Steve Harvey is sad that he got in backlash over Trump, you know, that Trump support. Oh wait, is it 100, by the way, for the you motherfuckers defending someone getting punched in the face that deserved it. Yeah, apparently he is hurt. I got found this on theroot.com. My girl Aisha wrote it. I could tell because it got a shady headline. Steve Harvey has a sad over backlash.
Yeah, during his radio talk show this week, he had a few words for the fans who are probably now haters. On a personal note, a lot of y'all hurt me. You really did. I didn't expect the backlash to be so fierce. I have an obligation to take a seat at the table when invited. Change can only happen if you sit at the table. If you're not at the table, you can't even suggest that we should be doing. Therefore, it was very important for me to take the meeting. Okay. Aisha goes on to say, dude, your only obligation right now is to make jokes that aren't even funny and host Family Feud. No one asked for anything more than that. You just proved to the world you don't even care about who the person is sitting at the head of the table, just so long as you get an invite. Yep. So Karen, how fucked with are you by Steve Harvey feeling the zero?
Zero.
No, zero for me is too. What a coincidence. Zero for both of us. Well, I'll be damned.
What did he think his majority black listening audience that voted probably a high clip for Hillary Clinton? A lot of women out there.
Here's the thing. Most of the people that support him are black women.
Right.
Most of the people that felt the urgency to vote for Hillary Clinton at the highest clip, black women. You're not getting too far on some let me go meet with Donald Trump shit. Especially when we know he ain't taking nothing you saying seriously.
That's so what people,
you just wasting time,
right? And it's one of those things too, like I say, some people are gonna support him no matter what, but they're gonna be some people that gonna turn that motherfucker off and be like, let me check my ass over to the Tom Joyner the morning show or the Ricky Smiley show.
Yeah, I'm laughing at you. If you go, I'm laughing. I don't care. Be mad if you want to. Shouldn't have went your ass up there. We all know you wasting your motherfucking time. We laughing.
Like your wife know it too. That's why she said no, your ass ain't going to that inauguration.
You want to treat you like you some, like you made some kind of intellectual leap forward talking to this nigga. We know you didn't. That's the problem.
He don't respect you. That's why he invited you.
Yeah. It wouldn't be so bad if we didn't know for a fact that he didn't give a fuck or respect any of things that come out of your mouth. You know? It's like all these dudes going up there already got problematic ass views on black people in the first place. Then, on top of that, they want to act like they're being conciliatory and shit. You get an invite, you sit down. Okay, cool. Well, I guarantee if I invited you on the Black Guy Tips, you're not going to come in my house and sit down, dog. You know where you want. You go where you want to go. Like, you big enough for that. You wanted to go up there. That's all. Don't be trying to act like it's for the people. All these black people stepping up to shine them shoes, keep trying to act like they doing it for us. You're not doing it for none of us.
Doing it for you.
It's all some shit you want to do. Some shit you want to gain. It's never some shit for all the black people. What plans have y'all put in place since y'all had a talk? Has he returned another phone call?
And my thing is this. Does he care about your mentorship program that you do like every year, like once or twice a year? He invite like young black boys and y'all talk about it. Did y'all discuss that with him?
Okay, I see what you're saying. My point is this, it really wouldn't matter.
No,
have y'all talked since then? That's a simple question. What's the plan? What plans, what committee has he put together for you? What position of leadership did he put you in? What budget did he write for you? Okay, then. What the fuck are you talking about? I know a photo op when I fucking see one. Stop being photo ops for races in 2017, dog. Stop it. You're only making yourself look stupid. And a lot of y'all motherfuckers gonna turn around years from now. We're gonna fucking go, remember when you took pictures with the fucking Bull Connor of your era? Remember that? You know what I mean? You couldn't wait to just fucking go shake hands with a man that doesn't respect anything about your people. Get the fuck out of here.
Your existence.
All right. I guess it's time to do something lighter, okay? This has been a lot today. That's right. It's white people news time, guys. See what these white folks up to. Oh, in a new section of white people news that I'm calling That's Y'all Man.
That's Y'all Man.
Got some Trump news. I'm not reading all of it, but I'll let you guys know the gist. During the inauguration, his tie was held together with tape.
What?
That's Y'all Man. FEC documents reveal Trump hired actors to attend 2016 campaign launch event.
No shit. Everything he do, I'm under the assumption it is paid performers. Like, anything he do, I think somebody's paid to be there.
That's Y'all Man. Trump supporters horrified to learn that their hats weren't made in the U.S.
Duh! No!
The Make America Great Again hats was making China, Vietnam, and Bangladesh great again.
Yeah, it was.
That foreign made. That's Y'all's Man. His spokesperson what the fuck do you call it, the press briefing, Sean Spicer, he be lying,
of course.
You know, I don't know why people thought he would tell the truth once he took office. How the fuck you gonna reward the man by voting the man for president knowing he was lying the most anybody's ever lied to become president?
Come on.
And then expect him to switch it up when he got the office. That is what we like to call stupid.
Right. Don't act shocked and surprised now.
I can't. When I, like, the people that are so dismayed by this shit, like, I can't believe he wasn't telling the truth. It's like, when did you think he would start? When you voted for him when he was lying? What are you, stupid? It's the only thing. You're stupid or you're just a bigot. It's the only thing. It's the only things left. You've left us with nothing. You're more than likely both. But you've left us with no other choice than to either think to not respect your intelligence or not respect your point of views. And I ain't having it. I ain't about to be one of these Van Jones ass, like, maybe they're good people type. Nah, nigga. I'm not giving scorpion rides across the river on my back. Let Van Jones do that shit.
Come on.
Fuck y'all.
I'm not your free labor.
Right. But yeah, he lied and said that the photographs of the inauguration were made to try to make it look like nobody was there.
Bitch, nobody was there. You act like we didn't see what we saw.
Yep. He said that they were, for the first time, they had floor coverings, actually during, Obama's second inaugural address, floor coverings were right there, invisible. People even slept on them. That's how much they wanted to see the president. So that's not new. He said it was the first time that fencing and magnetometers were as far back as the mall. Yeah, the Secret Service said that's not true.
Yeah, him and Secret Service gonna fall out, because Secret Service gonna look, nigga, you ain't gonna be lying on us.
He said the inaccurate numbers of the crowd sizing were tweeted, and that nobody has number because the National Park Service doesn't, da 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 da. Yeah, but there's also crowd science, where they actually do specialize in counting the number of people in the crowd. They have about 250K at the inauguration. As many as 2.5 million people went to the Women's March.
Come on.
Yep. So
a lot of them voted for you, but they didn't, because they so ashamed of you, they didn't come to your march. It don't mean they don't support you.
We know that 420,000 people used DC public transit yesterday, which actually compares to the 317,000 who used it for President Obama's last inaugural. Here's the thing about that. One, those numbers might not be true. Two, the numbers are wrong, but then two, not everybody using public transport was going to the inauguration, because there was also the most protesters ever happening right up the street. So maybe someone was using it to go out there. I don't know. Can't count them all though. But yeah, the full day inauguration prompted 570,557 trips in the system. Obama's first inauguration drew 1.1 million trips and his second drew 782,000. Both are more. This is the largest audience to witness an inauguration period, both in person and around the globe. That's a lie because ratings were down.
Right, because people were like, I'm not watching that shit.
And attendance was down. Here's the thing what's funny about that. People was like, I'm not watching the inauguration because the only way to hurt his feelings is by not letting them get the ratings. I personally let everybody say what they wanted to say. I didn't retort. I didn't say anything, refute anybody's point of view. Mm-hmm. I didn't even mention it on Twitter because I didn't want to get in the argument.
Right.
But the whole time I was like, you might as well watch because it don't matter. He's a fucking psychopath. He doesn't care what the numbers are. He will make his own numbers. He's been making up his own facts for over a year, some change now. Years now. Going back to Obama's birth certificate, he's been making shit up. Why do y'all think you can keep playing this game where you have the facts on your side and then, quote unquote, they have to listen? That's not how it's going to work.
Yep.
So if you wanted to watch the inauguration, you should have watched it. If you didn't want to watch it, you should have just said you're not watching it because you don't want to watch it. Like, there's no reason to try to act like it's going to hurt him because you don't understand him. He makes up shit as he goes.
Right. Why do you think he gives a shit? His ego will spin it. And all these people he's had around him have been constantly going out and lying and spinning. What make you think that they're not going to do it now?
He lied on the New York Times. He said that they posted inaccurate inauguration attendance numbers and then they retracted it. They didn't. He just made it up. So, all that to say, that's your man's. Mm-hmm. They put Melania's QVC jewelry line on the web, on the White House website. Y'all really let this trash in the White House because y'all hate us so much.
Mm-hmm. And no, I don't see people protest me, but like, get that shit off the fucking website for the country. Nobody gives a fuck about her goddamn watch or crock pot or whatever the fuck she's selling.
Y'all hate us that much. Some niggas marched and y'all missed brunch and y'all put this motherfucker in the White House.
That's okay.
What can you say? Then
you wonder why other people across in other parts of the world laughing at us because it's fucking idiotic. That's y'all man.
That's your man's. That's your man's, dog. That's y'all boy.
Because I didn't vote him in office.
Y'all hate us that much. Y'all let that motherfucker win. Oh, all right. Now let's get to the happier white people news. We had to get the That's Y'all Man segment out. By the way, the first ever. All right, let's see. Here's one. How about this one? Eddie Redmayne. No, I'm a bigger fan of his wife, Methamane. Eddie Redmayne.
I don't think that's how that goes.
And wife Hannah Bradshaw coordinate in blazers as they attend a festive cocktail bash. This is some old white people news. It's from November, guys, but it's always current to us.
Always current, because you know me, I don't know nobody.
Eddie Redmayne was it. Wait. Where did you know him from? You didn't see The Theory of Everything.
Mm-mm.
Did you see that Wachowski movie?
Which one?
The one where Channing Tatum was in it and he had Fire Rocket roller skates. You didn't see that with me, did you?
I didn't see that, but I seen previews. Is he one?
He was the dude that, for some reason, he talked like this the whole movie. I don't know why. Anyway, he was in it. Eddie Redmayne and his wife were still perky on Monday as they attended the Amelia Wickstead Christmas cocktail party at Amelia Wickstead London flagship store. The Academy Award winning actor, 34, and his publicist wife looked smart in a coordinated blazers for the occasion. Eddie wore a velvet navy blue suit and crisp white shirt with a matching floral tie. And Hannah looked chic in an oversized blazer and brightly patterned maxi dress, wearing her long blonde tresses loose. She carried a patterned envelope. The duo, who were married in 2014 and welcomed their first child in June, posed alongside Tom Hooper and the lady of the night, Amelia Wickstead. Over the weekend, Eddie proved his confidence in mingling with royals once again as he chatted away happily to the Duchess of Cornwall at 60th Hennessy Gold Cup at Newbury Race Course on Saturday. That's interesting. They rich stuff over there is like our poor black alcohol. Hennessy Gold. The Oscar winner looked relaxed in the royal box as he rubbed shoulders with Camilla 69, who looked great in an estate green tweed jacket and fur lined hat. Good for her.
Good for her.
Mm. You saw you paying attention to these white people, Karen. You over there on the phone just ignoring this white people news. Then you gonna wonder why you don't feel relaxed. The Duchess of Cornwall certainly added a polished edge to the event in her jacket equipped with suede lapels and buttons. Camilla teamed her heavy overcoat with a ruffled high neck blouse as she walked the saddling paddocks in her chocolate brown boots. The royal made sure to wrap up during the outing as she recovered her neatly blow dried tresses with a fur trimmed hat as she placed her hands into a stylish pair of leather gloves whilst carrying her clutch.
How you know her hair just got blow dried?
They knew. It's the investigative research of the Daily Mail, Karen. They have to let us know. What else happened? Oh, glowing on set, Jessica Chastain looks happy with her darker locks as she shoots Molly's Game in Toronto. Jessica Chastain was in I don't want to take that name.
Well, you know you better not ask me.
I want to say it's Zero Dark 30 is the name of the movie.
Okay.
You didn't see it, though.
Was she the main part woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Famous for her fiery red hair, Jessica Chastain took a walk on the dark side Tuesday in Toronto with newly brunette locks on the set of the upcoming film, Molly's Game.
Now, which I'm going to be watching.
You ain't going to see Molly's Game? Mm-mm. Girl, better see that.
Is it going to be lit?
I don't know. The change was necessary to play the role of the real life brunette and the poker princess Molly Bloom, an accomplished skier and mastermind behind an international underground poker ring. Bloom is also the woman whose memoir the film is based on. For this particular scene, California native Chastain got into character in a robin's egg, blue sweater, and taupe skirt, showing off her incredibly toned legs with ballet flats to match. Her hair's still red. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I mean, oh, I guess it's okay, so they docked it down like a one tone of red and was like, okay, now you are brunette. Sad.
Ha ha ha.
This is what we came to. Anyway, it was huge news. She fended off the elements by alternating between a mostly gray cashmere scarf and floor length insulated black jacket with a fur trim hood as she laughed it up with the crew. She was all business later as she followed closely by her glam team and others on the set. There you guys go. She's 39 years old. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Good for her. Continue to get your coins, boo.
You ain't mad at her to make that money.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't hurt nobody.
Yep. Let's see what else happened. How about Silicon Valley star sued for hitting a private driver after inhaling laughing gas and complained about spending loads of money on Clinton's campaign.
What? I don't know that much, but I probably should have given you instructions like, hey, we're going to use laughing gas. You can't be,
Sound like he was using it in his private use.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The Silicon Valley star TJ Miller allegedly attacked his private driver during a heated argument about Donald Trump after inhaling laughing gas. Wilson Dion Thomas III said he was hired to drive the comedian around for the day and claims Miller was inhaling nitrous oxide out of a small metal canister, better known as Whippets, a party drug said to give users a quick and euphoric high. Thomas claims Miller finished his entire stash and then called on the assistant to bring him more that day.
Shit.
He said Miller, who recently starred in Office Christmas Party, repeatedly complained about how much money he spent supporting Hillary Clinton's campaign. Wilson picked Miller up from the GQ Man of the Year party in Hollywood and said the comedian accused him of being a Trump supporter. As Wilson pulled up to the star's home, he said Miller suddenly struck him in the right side of his head and shoulder as he continued to drive. The driver claims he suffered violent whiplash after slamming on the brakes. He is now suing Miller for a medical expenses and other damages. Miller was arrested for the alleged assault around 1 a.m. that morning. The actor was released on his own recognizance and was given a citation. He didn't require him to pay $20,000 bail, police said, adding he will appear in court at a later date. His attorney called the lawsuit a pure money grab. He said the driver is no longer filing bogus lawsuits to escort people. Oh, is no stranger to filing lawsuits to extort people. Although details surrounding the Trump argument are still unclear, Miller made it very clear last month about who he didn't support in the presidential election when he burned a Trump tie. The actor appeared on the Conan show on November 1st to talk about his upcoming gig at the host of the 2016 Critics' Choice Award on Sunday. And then he burned the Trump. He's tie. He said, so I almost forgot in the early 2000s, ironically, I bought this tie back when Donald Trump was funny. He's not very funny anymore, Miller said. And he set the tie on fire in front of a chair audience. He then threw the tie on the stage and tap danced on it before kicking on the floor.
I'm not tap dancing.
Mm-hmm. So he was very upset about it. And took it out on his driver. Here's a big controversy that we didn't get to cover last week. Paula Patton and Robin Thicke are going through some things, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, that album that was the Barack.
He kept knocking, knocking, knocking.
Yes. Yes.
Paula Patton and her husband, ex-husband, singer Robin Thicke, fighting over custody of their son. The 41-year-old actress was in Los Angeles court on Thursday to request an emergency hearing to ask a judge to restrict Robin's access to their 6-year-old son, Julian. She is requesting that Robin only have monitored daytime visits. However, the judge denied a request for an emergency hearing. Paula alleges that Robin has been physically abusive toward their son. Over the past year, I've become concerned about Robin's drinking and drug use, as well as the forms of punishment he uses to discipline Julian. Paula wrote in the declaration, my concerns culminated in January 4th, 2017, when Julian's school called the Department of Child Services to report that they believed to be credible allegations of abuse from Julian against Robin. Paula goes on to allege that Robin has been spanking Julian excessively. He asked him to show us how hard and I asked him to hit me on my back, saying she responded with an ow. She adds, Julian said it was worse than that. In the declaration, Robin says, it was my belief that Paula holds residual anger towards me because I and my family would not permit her or her family to attend the funeral of my father on December 20, 2016. Alan Thicke died suddenly in December 13th at the age of 69. Robin says in the docs that Paula did not have a positive relationship with my father. Robin also notes that he is complying with the DCFS investigation and is meeting with a social worker on Thursday with his son. I understand that the social worker has already met with Julian, Paula, and employees from Julian's school, and that DCFS has not sought to remove Julian from my care, placed any restrictions on my custody, and not instructed Paula to withhold Julian from me. I've certainly not heard from anyone in this regard at any time, he says. Ultimately, the court found there is insufficient showing of great or irreparable harm, immediate danger, or any other statutory basis to grant Paula's emergency request today. Paula and Robin were married in 2005. After dating since they were a teenager, they welcomed their son Julian in 2010, but announced a split 2014 after almost 9 years of marriage. And then, of course, the divorce was finalized March 2015. So, sounds like we got some custody stuff. I had no idea that her and Alan Thicke weren't cool. That dude's like everybody's dad. So then, cops got called to Paula Patton's home amid Robin Thicke custody battle. Police officials were called to Paula Patton's home in Calabasas, California. January 13th, in connection to her ongoing custody battle with ex-husband Robin Thicke. All I can say is that basically we had to call a response for a civil matter. No action was taken on our part. No report was written. It was completely civil. Vic 39 called police to Patton's home on Friday morning because she allegedly violated their custody order by refusing to release their son, 6-year-old Julian, to him. Per their agreement, in a video posted on the site, Patton 41 can be seen giving the officers her information and thanking them for showing up. Vic does not appear in the video. The site reports that on Friday, the deputies went inside the house, spoke to Julian, who said he was scared to leave with his dad. The Blurred Lines singer later left the confrontation saying, son. So his son was scared to go.
Yeah, and my thing, she didn't make up that school calling.
My guess would be people that will be detractors of hers will say she coached her son to do that or some shit like that. I'm not saying she did it all. I'm just saying that's what people are gonna, that's probably how people are gonna spin it. That's what Robin thinks probably gonna say. She trying to turn my son against me. But yeah, the singer denied any wrongdoing. Of course, we all know that. Looks like all in, the only update on it. So yeah. And he says it's cause she can't go to the funeral. Was there any more on these motherfuckers? I feel like I had another one, but I don't remember what else they done did. Oh. Paula Patton and Robin Thicke are spotted leaving the same building as has been claimed out undergoing counseling during the custody battle. So apparently they attended some counseling together, and I think even it was like family counseling, so maybe they're trying to, like, you know, fix it. I mean, that's what I'm guessing. Which, I mean, you know, hey, that's good, you know, if y'all are able to come to some, I mean, it's gotta be better than putting your kid through all that shit. I mean,
true.
I mean, unless maybe he really is six. Yeah, unless he really is abusing that kid, then,
and that's the problem.
Now, I don't know if counseling can be able to fix that. If he really is your own son, is scared of you,
girl, I made a whole album dedicated to you.
Arriving at the building, Paula obscured her face with a blue ball cap, where the Blurred Lines artist was captured separately in a gray coat and fringe scarf. Upon her exit, the 41-year-old actress hopped into a car, jetted off quickly, looking simple and chic in a motorcycle jacket over a black and white striped long sleeve. Robin checked his phone and looked into the distance before making his own departure. Although the two left on their own, it's clear they were making some sort of effort to heal old wounds and do what's best for the son. On Tuesday, a report from People revealed both parties are working with a therapist who is advising on Julian's best interest. Patton's move for custody followed two incidents earlier this month where son Julian allegedly spoke of being hit by his father. Damn, two different incidents, huh? So, yep.
Yeah, if she's making that up, this is a big ruse.
It's like they the Brad Pitt and Angelina, but don't nobody care. All right, guys.
They separating their mannequins.
Nope. I don't think anybody gives a fuck. Oh, wait. Another update. Justin Bieber called The Weeknd's music whack after he spotted a close embrace with his ex, Selena Gomez. So, yeah, he seen The Weeknd smooching up on Selena Gomez. Mm-hmm. And he does not approve of The Weeknd's music now.
Right, but she was being petty when she was talking to dating that possibly underage girl. Word.
And what's wild is this is now maple on maple beef, dog. This is Canadian beef.
Ah!
Otherwise known as
leaf on leaf beef.
Leaf on leaf beef. The 22-year-old Canadian crown prince of pop seemingly does not approve of The Weeknd's music. The Weeknd, real name Abel Tesfaye, sound like something Shaggy, Scrappy would say. Abel Tesfaye, was caught kissing Justin's ex-girlfriend Selena Gomez earlier this month. The new romance could be the reason behind Biebs now not holding back on his views. Emerging from a high-end restaurant, Delilah, in West Hollywood Friday night, the company singer was approached by a video team working for TMZ. Skipping away from reporters, Bieber gave the first sign that he wasn't the biggest fan of The Weeknd or no longer Selena, as he commented, "You're like one of those rap guys' girlfriends or something." The report, that sounds a little racist to me. Anybody else get a little?
Honey, just because he turned that hat around, right side and stop hanging with black folks and went all white.
Wait, just because he did that, what? I'm trying. I mean,
just because he did that, don't mean he possibly can't be racist.
Oh yeah, he sound racist to me. One of those rap guys' girlfriends. The reporter then asked
one me of those. Some of those that you was hanging
those
around.
Those guys.
Some of rap those guys you was making deals with.
Yeah, when you was on that, you had them on your album. You had a problem with them, but now okay.
You twisting your hair up.
The reporter then asked if he enjoyed listening to The Weeknd's music, which he barked, "Hell no, I can't listen to a Weeknd song. That shit's whack." Justin, who had a headline grabbing on and off relationship with Selena 24 between 2011 and 2014, had previously slammed his ex's relationship with The Weeknd. Earlier in the week, TMZ alleged Justin thinks Selena is using her new romance to boost her music sales. Justin has at least turned to some of his fans for affection, posted a rare selfie on Twitter on Monday with the caption, "My I love you face." The Sorry singer had previously punished fans by deleting his own Instagram account after trolls targeted his on again, off again lover Sophia Richie, leaving loyal believers to cling to his tweets for direct updates from the star. Sound like he hating, dog. Things are getting a little too spicy for the pepper over there.
They getting a little bit too maple syrup is sticky.
All right. Let's do some sore ratchetness. We've gone on long enough. It's time for us to get off of here. And we need to go watch Supergirl. Okay, guys? TV is back.
Oh, everything come back this week. Oh, shit.
Karen didn't even know.
I just been loving Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay.
Tomorrow is Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Super Tuesday. Shout out to Chris and D-Palm.
And Super Thursday is back.
What's on Thursday? Oh!
Scandal on How to Get Away with Murder. Get my wine and my cheese and my crackers latest. We back. Yes. Let's get information.
Yes, I know you're excited.
Chandelier time.
Three shows. You watch two of the three, but three shows if you like all three.
I just don't watch them that Grays, but I watch them rest. Oh, also, This Too Much is Thursday this week at 5. So just letting you guys know, me and Bossy will be recapping This Is Us a day earlier than normal. All right. A man is accused of using a sword to attack another man at an apartment near downtown Austin last week, and he's now facing charges for allegedly pulling a gun on a rideshare driver last month. Police say last Friday, Shusaku Shirayama, 31, forced his way into Miguel Angel's home and attacked him with a katana sword and a dagger. Angel told CBS Austin he thought he was going to die before a friend showed up to help him fight off Shirayama. Now we're learning from court documents that officers have been searching for Shirayama since December 1st of last year.
God damn.
He was in like a...
Woo! That's a real ninja for your ass.
He was in the wind. The arrest affidavit say he threatened a fastened rideshare driver who tried to pick him up at his home. The driver told police Shirayama ordered him to turn off the app and pulled a gun on him. Well, he refused. Shirayama fled the scene without harming the driver. He's now facing aggravated assault charges in both cases. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow, me and Karen, and we're gonna talk about a bunch of other stuff that we didn't get to today. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Bye.